Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The Lord alone has immortality. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. This immortality is that which sets the Lord apart from his creation. It is that which sets Christ apart from those he came to minister to. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And it is this gift of eternal life which sets the sons of God apart from the world. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The new birth is an event which is transformative, and those who are, by the grace of God, privileged to experience it. They receive life which they did not heretofore possess. This is not a restoration back to some state which they walked in before Adam sinned, but rather a new creation which never existed, but to which they were ordained according to the purpose of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That which is spiritual is lasting in nature, while that which is natural must and shall pass away. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said, ye must be born again. All men are born with a conscience, which operates in varying degrees according to the purpose of God. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing them witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile excusing, or else excusing one another. The operation of this natural conscience is demonstrated when the men who had taken the woman in adultery were each one convicted of their own sin, as the Lord said, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." The same is seen in Judas, who went out and hanged himself due to his guilt. This is not true repentance, but rather natural sorrow. It has pleased the Lord to turn this natural conscience in some over to a reprobate mind. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. The most severe case of this is found among those who deny the gospel, twisting it into a perverse lie, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. While this conscience works in all men to a greater or lesser degree, there is a conscience which is bestowed on none but the children of God. Paul testifies of it. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. He is speaking of the hope which he has been given in the resurrection of Christ. Even the reborn sons of God have doubts and fears due to their corruptible flesh. Yet it is this conscience from which they cannot thankfully escape, as the Spirit of God works in them both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is that which Peter spoke of when the Lord asked them if they too would depart from him. Peter confessed, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." It is the same with Job, who said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." It is this conscience which caused Paul to preach nothing but Christ and him crucified among those to whom he was sent. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. When the high priest made continual offerings of bulls and goats, they could only outwardly make an atonement for sin. Neither the priest nor those for whom the offerings were made could have any lasting peace as pertaining to the conscience. Yet Christ, as that perfect sacrifice, has brought this peace. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is the ministration of that good and pure conscience, which is given to the sons of God as they are reconciled unto him. Do you have a conscience which is void of offense as you look upon the perfections of Christ and are satisfied therein? Or do you expect to bring some righteousness of your own into his presence?
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.